Krishna.
So, good morning to all of you. And a warm, very, very warm Hare Krishna. I am very, very grateful to Professor Nagra and Mr. Mandar, who have been very, very kind. As soon as I came in, I felt very homely. I'm sure, as I heard before about Rotary Club, that is true that people are very cordial, very friendly. I'm very, very honored to be present among you, to be present in this topic today. Spirituality. Spirituality, a tool for enriching our life. So, all of us know that each and every human being is attracted to six specially categorized things. If you analyze, you will agree with me that we are attracted and we are looking for beauty, or we are impressed by beauty, knowledge, or wisdom. Then we are impressed by people who are very wealthy, with all the opulence. We are also attracted by people who are famous. Also, we are attracted by people who are very strong, physically or maybe influence-wise. And to be very surprising situation, we also attract people who are very renowned. We hear Baba in Himalayas, who only eats one carrot per day and survives. Or there are some people who are, you know, they don't even eat, they only breathe air and live. You know, given up everything. But that is very impressive. That is called a sacrifice or renunciation or vairagya. In essence, these six opulences, to be called as Aishwarya, they are the qualities of the Lord, the Supreme Lord. And it are these opulences which are manifesting in us because we are His part and parcel. And that is why, after we keep the Lord aside, the Lord's opulences in people attract us. Actually speaking, all of us are actually working hard to achieve these opulences in us. The foremost of things today is that everybody is working very hard to earn money. The meditation to earn money is so strong that day and night, after coming, after we have the mobile, even in bathrooms, when we are washing ourselves, there are calls coming. Day and night only meditation is how do I progress, how do I make money, and how do I become famous, how do I keep my health fit, and how do I become more wise and get more experience and more knowledge and realization. Right? So, at the same time, even if you are doing all these things, the stress is inevitably mounting on us. Can anybody say that there is no stress? Even to those people who are practicing spiritual life, they will cannot say stress is not there. Maybe they are able to manage stress well, but they can't deny that stress is there. Stress is there. The world in which we are living, stress is there. If you go to a area foul smelling, you may tolerate the smell, but the smell will disturb you. You may have different ways of dealing with the bad smell. Somebody may shout, somebody may complain, or somebody may go and try to solve actually. Or somebody may say, okay, I am there for half an hour, why should I bother? I'll just go. There are different ways of dealing with that stress. But stress is going to be there. In today's world, the biggest stress people are going through is relationship issues. Issues between husband and wife. Issues between son and the father. Issues between daughter and the mother. Issues between daughter-in-law and mother-in-law. Issues between neighbors, issues between people and society, issues between communities, issues between countries. Relationship, it is explained that relationship can give you maximum pleasure if it is handled well, or relationship can give you maximum stress and distress if it is not in place. And today, maximum frustration and maximum drug addictions and all kinds of homicidal tendencies are seen and experienced because of these relationship issues. Then I don't get along with you. You don't get along with me. In whatever denominations we are working in this life. At the same time, there is stress in business, to maintain our business, to grow our business, make progress. There is stress to make money and to enjoy life. I don't think that enjoying there is no stress. We are trying to get maximum enjoyment out of whatever resources we have. And most of the times our planning doesn't work well. So we get distressed. Even there is stress in family life because of servants. I don't want to go in detail to the story. Yesterday my servant was told by my wife to grind the idli ka atta. And the servant put it in the refrigerator. because Idli Gada has to be kept outside to ferment overnight, and then the next morning it can be done well. She had gone out to market, and then servant had put it for 3 hours in the refrigerator. At 11 o'clock it was taken out, took 2 hours to come to normal temperature. In the morning it was not done properly. So I am giving one example to you. Troubles caused by other people to you, who are servants or neighbors or society people. In education also there is so much stress nowadays. Like we were students, you all know, we were so happily going to school, enjoying our life. Our bags were not so heavy as today. And today from day one, from standard one, from nursery, there's so much pressure. You know, at the age of 3, they have to write cursive handwriting. And they have to use middle scholarship and junior scholarship, and SSC is so much stress, so much of classes are going on. And at my time, I took admission in MBBS just simply out of my 12th marks. So now 12 marks, then CET of Maharashtra, CET of India, CET of Calcutta, CET of this, and then you have to compete with so many places. You have to go to other place from your own house to study there, arrange with, adjust with the situation. So there is a lot of stress there. And you get graduation and for post graduation, again you have to give your entrance exams, and lakhs and lakhs rupees of classes. Today if you want a young son to become a doctor or an engineer or MBA, there is lakhs and lakhs rupees of classes available. And that too, there is no guarantee. After that class if you fail, then again next year again same 5 lakh rupees you have to invest. Put your son to the IIT education. And there's health issues to maintain the health. My age is growing, 35 and 40, and diabetes, hypertension, and heart disease, and cholesterol. And in between all these things, the weight is growing. How to manage the weight, and so many diseases are coming because of weight. And in the meantime, you have to go to work. The working environment is so stressful these days. All of you know, all of you are well established people. Some of you are doing job, some of you are doing business. But work is so much pressure. People are leaving at 6:30 in the morning, coming at 11:30 in the night, still the work is not getting over. If you go at 10 o'clock one day, you are looked down upon. You are going 2 hours early. I know so many people who are highly paid, highly positioned. The life starts 5 in the morning. Just brush, mask, go toilet, run, catch a train, travel for 2 hours to Churchgate, and work there for 30 to 14 hours, again travel back to Mira Road or Mira for 2 hours. Of course, everyone doesn't stay in that side of Bombay, but even those who are staying in Bombay, they have to work for 15 hours a day to make their targets, business targets, and health is quite languishing. 25-year-old boy has hypertension and diabetes and heart disease and whatnot. So the work is having so much of stress. It's a big list, we will not go into details, and somehow there is a stress between many, many roles that we are playing. I have to play the role as a father, as a wife, as a husband. Somebody has to play the role of a wife also. Then I have to play the role of a son also. Then I am in an office, some position is there. Then in society, in my building, I have some position is there. In my company, I have some position is there. So you can imagine, any boss there. So, and to manage this stress of various degrees, people succumb to alcohol and cigarettes and parties, and you know, some people go for relationship outside to relieve their stress, and some people go for drugs, and some people go for various illicit activities. And that doesn't mean you get hooked into some other things. When you get hooked into alcohol and the drugs and disease and some other things that one should not be doing, then disease comes. And socially we are alienated and deprived. So we want to solve our stress, but stress is increasing. Now, you have to understand one thing, that if you go to a Karela tree, you go to a Karela tree, you go to right side branch, or left side branch, or lower branch, or higher branch, what do you get? You Karela fruit. You cannot search for a mango fruit on a Karela tree. You may say, oh, at this level of my height I have searched, but I have not gone higher. Maybe if I take a stair and go higher, maybe I'll get a mango fruit there. But in Karela tree, you go on every direction, in every branch, every corner of the branch, you get only a bitter fruit. Like that, we are in the material world today. material world is full of disease, full of miseries, full of stress, birth, old age, disease and death, troubles caused by other living entities, other fellow beings, troubles caused by your own mind, mind's ambitions and reality don't match, and troubles are caused by nature, by sometimes over rain, sometimes no rain, sometimes bhukampa, sometimes tornadoes, and sometimes things are coming. Too much heat, no heat, too much cold. So we are bound by these sufferings. And that is why the stress is coming. And stress is coming more because of the ignorance and because of the hope that some gorilla tree will get a mango fruit one day. But what is the solution for this? So let's start our discussion because we have limited time. There is a missing link. In spite of working hard, in spite of having recreation clubs, in spite of having so many retreats in nature, under the mountain, at the bank of the river, in the ocean, and there are so many things, panchakarma, yoga retreat, and water resort, and so many plans of 2-3 days of enjoyment in Lonavala, and in Himalayas, and Kulu Manali, and the bank of Ganga in Himalayas. Still, there is no peace, no satisfaction, and whatever little satisfaction release you get, it is temporary. Do you agree with me? I may be under stress, and I go, I took off for 45 days this year, first time in my life, you know. But at the end of the 45 days, again I saw the same things are repeating again. I got relieved, I got little rejuvenation, but I realized that whatever I do is temporary. I need a permanent solution, I need a formula by which constantly, while being in the middle of my stressful day-to-day life, which is not going to change, I need a formula by which I can constantly remain peaceful and happy in the given continuous situation. Is that your need, sir? Would you be happy to find a solution which is permanently with you, wherever you go it is with you, and constantly it gives you happiness and satisfaction and peace? I think every human being who has intelligence is looking for these things. But somehow we are not missing because we are missing a big link in between. We think that, I am a doctor. You may think you are a businessman, somebody may think he is a singer, somebody may think for that matter he is a man, or somebody may think I am Indian, or you may think you are American, and he may think he is a European, and somebody may think I am from city, you are from village, and somebody may think I am highly educated and you are not, and somebody think I am a very handsome and beautiful person and you are not, I am white and you are black. This is bodily identification. Some people may identify with intelligence, that I am a very intelligent person, I am a scientist, I am a doctor, I am an engineer, I am a businessman, I am very affluent, I know how to speak, how to do things, how to communicate. So there are different identifications with body, number one, various distinctions of body we identify with. And there are identifications with mind, with emotions, I am a very emotional person, I have very high EQ. And there are people who identify with their intelligence and their positions in society. But we are missing one link. We are forgetting who actually we are. What is our real identity? Because all these so-called mental, physical, intellectual identities can be changed. Right? Today I can say, I gave up my medical profession and I go into business. I may be producing rubber. Somehow my father had rubber industry. I can go into rubber industry. Enough of medical practice, I'll go into as a businessman. Or I will change my profession, I'll go to politics. I'll appear for election. I may win and I may become tomorrow a minister of Maharashtra. You can change it. So we have to understand actually who we are. In the changing scenario, what is that constant thing that we are? And what we are not addressing to? That constant thing, what we are, is we are spirit souls. We are Atma, who is residing in this body. Who is the benefactor or loser of various situations of your life? Who becomes happy or unhappy when things change in your life? It's like a charioteer, you know, it's like a chariot and there are many horses and there's a driver of chariot and there's a passenger. And the passenger is enjoying or suffering as per wherever chariot goes. Wherever chariot takes him, as per the environment of the place, the journey, what the passenger suffers from injuries. But we have to forget, we have to remember that the charioteer is under the control of the passenger. Passenger will decide where he will go. Passenger will tell the charioteer to put the horses in one direction. So we are forgetting actually what is our original identity. And that original identity, as per our
spiritual understanding given by all scriptures. We are not talking about only Bhagavad Gita or only Quran or only Bible or only Torah or only Granth Sahib. We are talking about generic spirituality. And from the generic spirituality way of understanding, we are classified or identified as spirit souls. And the nature of that spirit soul is Sat, Chit and Ananda. What does it mean? Sat means by nature we are eternal. You know, our nature is to be eternal. We appear to be dying because we are in this body, and the body dies and the soul takes another body. But by nature, soul is eternal. Soul never dies. Body only dies. Chit means knowledge. Everybody is seeking knowledge, wanting knowledge, wanting to enrich themselves with knowledge. But this knowledge is in this body is temporary. What we perceive in this body, gather in this body, is limited but due to limitations of time, place and circumstances. Ananda is the nature, always looking for happiness, is our nature. Nobody is looking for unhappiness to become unhappy. Everybody is working hard, even from an ant, to a bird, to a tree, to a fish, to a human being, to an animal, everybody is looking for happiness. Because the nature of the soul is to be happy. And now, if you understand who we are, then we have to situate ourselves on the platform of who we are. If I am a doctor, if I know I am a doctor, then I have to act like a doctor. I have to see you as a patient, I have to treat you, I have to give medicine to you, I have to cure you. If you think you are a businessman, then you have to do business. You have to go to an office, sell something, do marketing and do accounting and increase your sales, get quality of products more and more. So one has to act on the platform of your own identification. If somebody marries and she is a wife, she has to act as wife. Then she becomes a mother, then she has to nurse the child as a mother. So whatever we identify with, we have to act accordingly. So now if you understand we are spirit souls, we have to act accordingly. How one can enrich human life is to come on the highest platform of spirituality. It is not that the platform of being a businessman or being a mother or father or a doctor is lower than this. What I am trying to say is as we go from ground floor to 11th floor, we see the world better. If you go on 110th floor, you will see the city more better than what you are seeing on ground floor. Is that right? So rising above is always beneficial. It broadens your view. It gives you a greater perspective of situations. It gives you a greater understanding to deal with situations also. So when we go on a spiritual platform, you understand what your intellect is, what your mind is, what your body is. You also understand what your situation around is, what your surroundings are, and how to react to it best way. Now this, another nature of the spirit soul is eternal part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, who is the Supreme Satchidananda. The source of us, source of all of us, is Supreme Satchidananda. We are minute Satchidananda, he is Supreme Satchidananda. And what is the definition of spirituality? Spirituality is defined as acting on the platform of the soul. Acting on the platform of the true understanding and awareness of being a spirit soul. And that is easily achieved by establishing our relationship with our super soul, with our Supreme Personality of Godhead. Supreme Satchidananda. When life is in connection with that Supreme Soul, I guarantee you, maybe I don't have statistical proof right now, but I guarantee you that immediately peace will start coming to you. Because at the beginning, peace is a zero concept, by the way. Peace means absence of distressful experiences. I didn't say absence of distressful situations. I didn't say that. I said absence of distressful situations which doesn't give you perception of that stress. That means you are in the stressful condition, but stress doesn't touch you. Is it possible? Yes, it is very much possible. If you learn, if you practice some methods and some procedures in life, that is called as yoga. Yoga means, it comes from the word yuj. The word yuj means to connect, to join, to unite. And yoga is definitely defined for the personality of Godhead, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we always say yoga means something spiritual, something which is abstract, something which is away from material life. And that is meant for uniting us with the Lord. And spirituality is defined as the cognizance, awareness of our being as souls, awareness of God, who is the Supreme Soul, awareness of our relationship with Him, and acting on the platform of that understanding of who we are and what is our connection with the Lord. That is, in simple words, what spirituality means. It doesn't have to do anything with our religious understanding. That can go on side by side. Spirituality is independent of religiosity. It's a very important understanding. Many people identify religion with spirituality. No, spirituality means compassion, love, tolerance, patience, peace, happiness, service. That is what is spirituality. Does compassion mean is Christian or Hindu or Muslim? No, sir. Spirituality is much, much beyond that and much, much higher than and much a generic concept. So we are talking about a situation by practicing which a Christian, a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Sikh, a Jew or whoever in the world will achieve peace as a guarantee. For example, if you have fever and I give you crocin, whether I give a crocin to Hindu, Christian, Muslim, black or white or European, he will get relief of the fever. That means it's universal, it doesn't differentiate between people to people. It acts generically on a human body, right? Similarly, spirituality is a process. It acts generically on every single living entity. What to speak of only human beings? Only human beings are privileged with the intelligence so that they can understand in depth who we are and how to practice it. Animals are maybe having lower intelligence, so they cannot practice the yoga process. But suffice to say, we are trillions of human beings on earth. And if we adopt this process of generic spirituality, our human life will be enriched. You will understand a formula, you will get a formula and practice a formula which will make you happy and free of stress all throughout the condition of life. We were discussing with Mr. Kabra that day, and the conclusion of discussion was that peace and happiness cannot be found outside of you. The peace and happiness has to be found within you. Because within you is a spark of God, that is you, Satchidananda. And within you also resides the Supreme Lord as Paramatma, within the heart of yours. Irrespective of caste, religion and walks of life and thoughts of life and languages of life and color of body. So wherever Lord is and wherever the part and parcel of Lord, that is you, is, that is the kingdom of God. And because we are exposing ourselves to outside, not looking inside, the peace is not there with us. The happiness is not there with us. But my dear friends, you all should know that by nature we are happy. Our constitutional position, our eternal nature is to be happy. But when we are placed in an awkward situation, then the happiness appears to be going away from us. We are discussing about that formula which will enrich your current situation and at the same time guarantee you happiness even you are in the middle of a distressful conditions. For example, in the end of life care, the formula which I have produced and which I have developed and I am teaching all over the world, this formula tells you that even if somebody is dying of a dreadful suffering cancer, you can be blissful just before death. I have got photographs. 5 days before death, 4 days before death. Through adopting the formula that we are telling, how to connect with the Lord, how to be spiritual. Person is cutting a birthday cake on a deathbed. Can you believe this? Just 2 days before death, there was a birthday of the person, dying with 4th degree cancer, spread everywhere in the body, suffering of pain like anything, but smiling with 32 teeth up to the ears with happiness. And living this body, living this world, living this existence of human life very happily and gratefully. No regrets that I had cancer, I suffered so much and why me only and why I have to suffer, why not the sinful man in the neighborhood. Not like that. A person who is in a most stressful condition can be very happy, blissful and also be grateful if one adopts the formula of coming on the platform of spirituality. That is why we are teaching this spiritual care in nursing profession, spiritual care in medical profession, spiritual care for specifically dying people, maybe dying of any reason, maybe disease of liver, heart, kidneys or cancer or disease of AIDS, whatever reason takes you to death. We are teaching this formula. The more time we get before death, the more possibility of him being grateful. Generally we are, when the distress comes, we are very angry. We are not grateful for the situation. But here is a formula which will make you become grateful. For whatever you have, this formula will help you to accept the situation as it is. What is the problem? Why we are in distress? Because we do not accept the situation as it is. If my child is, for example, I have a child having 40% brain damage, cerebral palsy, in the bed for last 10 years, like a 6-month baby. Now I can be crying all the day. Why Lord? Why me only? What wrong I have done? I have been doing good in my life. But this is a fact. And if I accept the fact as it is, I can be very, very happy and blissful even in the given situation, even while I am handling the situation and doing everything else. I can perform my duty nicely, I can perform my family life very nicely, and while doing all my service to all my child, I can be still happy. Provided I am in constant union with the Supreme Lord all the time. And in nutshell, we have only 2 minutes now. In nutshell, how to remain on spiritual platform, or how to adopt spirituality to remain always blissful in life, is to connect us with the Lord, the source of happiness, with chanting the holy name of the Lord. When we chant the holy name of the Lord, we are called as performing mantra yoga. Union with the Supreme Lord, who is the source of all bliss, to receive bliss from Him through the sound vibration of His holy name. When we practice this meditation on the sound vibration produced by our tongue and meditate on the sound vibration of the Lord, then we get immediately connected to Him. We rise above physical, mental, emotional, intellectual stratum and situate ourselves on spiritual platform. And as soon as you are on the spiritual platform, instantly by chanting the holy name, immediately you will feel bliss. Today or now, you can practice this and experience yourself. And that is what the spirituality is all about. It's a big subject matter. It's a matter of practice than more than talking. But talking initially is required to understand it. But 90% of spirituality is practice. Only 10% is discourses and understanding and discussion and question answers and all. But spirituality is the most powerful, time-tested tool to enrich human life at all times. Maybe it is golden age or stone age or iron age, whichever age we are in, or modern age of technology and advancement and everything. Or we were in the past, maybe we were in Ramayana time, maybe we were in Mahabharata time, maybe we were in 50 years or 100 years before this time. This formula of spirituality is practiced by sages from ages. And it has been successful. It is applicable all the times. So whatever the mantra yoga results are constant. Whether an educated man follows or uneducated man follows, the rich man follows or poor man follows, whether a fool follows or intelligent man follows, this formula works, because it doesn't work on intelligence or mind or on the body. It works on the soul, spiritual platform. That is why it gives unanimous, eternal, continuous results all the time in the world. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions or comments or doubts, so I can... Anybody?
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
These mantras, what we have to chant. Different mantras, everybody has got a different deity. So somebody will go to Dattatraya, somebody will go to Ganesha, somebody will go to Krishna, lot of things. So what I understand is, for all the mantras are designed with some, that as you say, sound therapy.
Yes.
Vibrations are there. And has a different effect on your body differently.
Yes.
How to decide which mantra you have
to chant? Very, very, very important and relevant question. Because you may have faith in Lord Ganesha, I may have faith in Lord Krishna, you may have Lord Shiva. But first thing to understand, there is no conflict in this. If I believe in Lord Shiva and you believe in Lord Krishna, there is no conflict in this. It's like you believe in my father and I believe in my brother. It's in the same family, ultimately. So the Lords, they are a group of one, coherence. They are a coherent group of people. That's why he called as Supreme Personality of Godhead. Godhead means there are many gods. Like there are many ministers. There are many gods who are governing many, many things. Like Indra governs rains, and Varuna governs water reservoirs, and Ganesha governs intelligence and purity, Shubha. Lakshmi governs money, and Lord Shiva governs destruction. Brahma governs creation. But they are all working under one Supreme Head, under whose guidance everything is working. So what mantra to choose? You have to choose a mantra which matches with our wavelength of spirit soul. As I defined the spirit soul as Sat Chit Ananda, and I defined as the Supreme Lord as Supreme Sat Chit Ananda. Even Brahma is Sat Chit Ananda, even Shiva is Sat Chit Ananda, even Ganesha is Sat Chit Ananda, because all are parts and parcels of God. They are special empowered souls and we are simple human beings. They are demigods and we are human beings, that's all. So we have to choose a name which will connect us with the Supreme Lord. You know, you will be happy to know, I was an ardent devotee of Lord Ganesh number 1 and Lord Shiva number 2. And I was practicing worship of Ganesh and Shiva very ardently till I passed my MBBS. But I learned later on that Lord Ganesh is more happy by worshipping his master than worshipping him. Lord Shiva is more happy because you see Lord Shiva always in meditation. You agree with me? Who is he meditating upon? He is meditating upon that personality who has created him, that personality who has empowered him to do his duties in this material. So, I found and realized in my life later on, today also I worship Ganesh and worship Lord Shiva because it is by their mercy only my life is enriched. No doubt about it. Absolutely beyond doubt. I also worship Devi because later on I learned that Durga Devi is the external potency of the Lord who governs these material worlds. Radharani is the internal potency of the Lord who governs the spiritual worlds. So both are like our mothers. You know? One is, Hindi bolta na Gujarati mein, Yupi bolta na ki choti maa aur badi maa. Tauji ki biwi ko badi maa bolte. Apni maa ko choti maa. So like that, Mahamaya Durga Devi is also our mother. And all of them, if you read scriptures very clearly, if you read Devi Puran, if you read Ganesh Puran, if you read Shiva Puran, if you read Upanishads and other Puranas, they clearly mentioned that Lord Shiva is also telling his wife Parvati in education, giving her Upadesh, that worship Aradhananam Sarvesham, Vishnu Aradhanam Param. He is telling his wife. So she is asking him, oh my dear husband, please tell me, who is supreme? Whom should we worship? Who is worshipable, truly? He said, I am also worshipable by my powers of Lord has given. But I worship that supreme personality of Godhead, who is the Sarvesarva, Sarveshvaresharam, who is the source of everything. Ishvara Paramakrishna Sachidananda Vigraham. So that is why, because Lord Shiva himself is chanting the name of the Lord Ram, who is not different from Krishna, of course. So we adopt that. And amongst all the gods, the only god who can give you liberation from cycle of birth and death is Mukunda. The word Mukunda means one who gives liberation. Neither Lord Shiva, nor Brahma, nor any Vishnu other forms, nobody else can give you liberation from repeated janma marana. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. We cannot get relieved by that. Unless it is in the hands of Krishna, only sanctions one gets liberation. So we have to be a little bit intelligent and also selfish in understanding what is our goal. Our goal is not to come back in this world and suffer again and again. I want to get out of this jail of this material world. For that I need a mantra which will deliver me from this world. So I'm not saying that Krishna's name is the only thing that you have chanted. Whichever addresses Supreme Lord, it may be Ram, it may be Allah, it may be Jesus, whoever, by whichever name you address the Supreme Lord, that name should be chanted. Otherwise, by chanting other names, you will get prosperity. You will get wealth, you will get name, you will get fame. There are many, many gods and many, many mantras which will give you all the worldly things. But all those worldly things which we will get are all temporary. They are limited to this lifetime. If by worshipping or chanting one name of one God, I get a lot of wealth. But when I die, what happens? All that wealth which I have earned, I have to remain, keep it here only. And I have to go to next life. And next time again I have to work hard, to start from ABC again. If I die as a doctor, I cannot start next life as a doctor again. I have to go to kindergarten again. Qualify myself again, then I can be a doctor. If I die as a singer or a dancer, next life I don't get born as a dancer or a singer. So what I'm trying to say is, try to achieve things which are not temporary. Do not try to achieve things which are temporary. And whatever is connected with this body is all temporary. When the body leaves, everything is gone from you. All your fame, wealth, name, beauty, high caste, high birth, everything, influence, is finished. Even before that it finishes, when you get old, what happens? All your position goes away, all your fame goes away. Who knows Muhammad Ali now? Who talks about him? Nobody. With all his power of boxing and his wealth and strength, today he can't even lift a glass also. Because of continuous blows on his head, because of boxing, his central nervous system is disintegrated. And one who was able to switch off the light and get into the bed before the light gets off. That was his fame, that he would go to bed before the light is off, by after putting the button off. That swift man is can't even lift a glass of water and drink water himself. Because everything when we have is temporary. It leaves us in the course of time. Time, the strongest power in this world, takes away everything that we think we have. So take the name of the Supreme Lord to get out of this temporary situation and to achieve a permanent, eternal situation of our real existence. Any other question? Yes, sir.
I have two questions. One is, what's the right age for entering into spirituality? A lot of people say, I'm too young to enter spirituality.
Ah.
The post-retirement. The second question is, when I feel I read the scriptures or whatever, it gives a kind of a detachment, to God. So what is the...
Okay, I'll answer your first question. First question was, what is the right age to start? According to the people who tell you that right age to start in the old age, right?
Yeah.
What is the definition of old age?
Post-retirement.
This is another way of defining old age. Old age is a time which is very close to death. Is that right? Logically, it's right, no? So, when you are 1 year, what do you say? Suppose I ask you, sir, how old is your son? So, what do you say? 1 year old. You never say by default also 1 year young or 6 months young. Okay? Because right from the time we take birth, we are close to death. Think about it. In a medical science, if you come to my hospital, to tell me any age which is not supposed to be not vulnerable to death. Any age, right from moment one can die. Right? At 5 years of age, at 1 day of birth, at 2 days of birth, at 1 year of life, at 5 years of life. Where there is, which age is there which is not vulnerable to death, right? And spirituality is guided to us that we should practice spirituality when we are very close to death. That means, right from the time we take birth, we should practice spirituality. But it is explained that it takes at least 4 to 5 years for us to stand on our own feet and own intelligence. So Prahlad is the son of Hiranyakashipu, the great Prahlad. He has taught us in Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, he said, Kaumaram Acharati Pragna. At the time of Kumar, when you become a Kumar, that is 5 years of age, spirituality should start for practicing. One should start practicing spirituality at the age of 5 years. Why is that? Whatever we learn at the younger age is assimilated by you very nicely. When do we catch the circus animals? When they are old. No. We catch circus animals when they are very, very, very young. We always say in management language, catch them young. Why? Because young age can be molded whichever way you like. For business, for education, for any arts or anything. My daughter is a singer. We started teaching her singing when she was 3 years of age. And that's why today she is Sangeet Vishara. But at 24 years of age, one cannot start and become... It is possible, but it's very difficult. So if one wants to really unite himself to God, then one should start at very early age. Now Olympics is going on. All the Olympic stars, gold medalists, you ask any of them, when did you start? So they'll say, at 3 years of age, at 4 years of age, at 2 years of age, 2.5 years of age. Started running. Then my father put me into the China with a sports school, right? So all the toppers in any field in the material world, they are starting at a very young age. And spirituality is the way of life. How can one start the way of life at the end of life? Spirituality, if it is a way of life, if it gives you an experience of bliss all throughout the life, it has to be started when life is there, very much with you right from the beginning of life. So at the earliest possible, one must start spiritual practices. Then you'll be happy right from that time, till the whole life ends. Next question was?
Basically, when you read the scriptures or whatever,
yeah.
You feel detached.
It is a very scientific statement that you are making. In spiritual knowledge that is given in Vedas, it is explained that when you get knowledge, you get renunciation, you get detachment. Suppose I go to Karela, again a Karela example, go to Karela tree, sorry Sukhte, Karela again. And I come to know ki this is a Karela tree, and in every leaf and branch, what do I expect is only Karela fruit. I get detached from Karela tree. And I may get attached to a mango tree, which will tell me my knowledge that wherever I go in mango tree in the season of month of May or April, I'll get a sweet fruit. Right, left, east, west, north or south. I'll get a sweet fruit. So I'll get attached to that fruit. Why? Because of knowledge. When I have knowledge, I'm giving knowledge to you, then you will accordingly act as per the knowledge. Like I asked him, where is how to Sharanam? Then he told me. On the way to Thane, then towards Murul, on the right side you'll get. I inquired and I found it. Right? And then I came here and started speaking to you. Similarly, knowledge gives you a true understanding of the thing that you have got knowledge of. जिसके बारे में आपको पता चला है, accordingly you'll act. If I tell you, don't go, there's a big hole here, don't drive your car there. So you'll not drive there, you'll go somewhere else. So Vedas means, by definition, word Veda is knowledge. Vid, Vidnyan, Vidwan, this is knowledge. One who has knowledge is Vidwan. So Vid means knowledge. So it is natural phenomenon when you read scriptures to become detached. But detached from what? Detached from all binding things. Detached from all things that are causing suffering to you. Detached from all these things which will make you distressed. But at the same time, don't forget that automatically you get attached to that thing which gives you happiness. Scriptures are not designed to somehow make you vairagi. Don't think like that. Vairagya is not the goal of our life. Please understand. By drinking only milk in a day, or one carrot in a day, and living in a jungle, giving up all the world, money, family, is not the goal of our life. Our goal of our life is to unite with the Lord wherever we are. Whether we are in a city, where we are minting millions of dollars every day, single day as businessmen, we are educated, highly educated, we are very influential, highly positioned. In all conditions of life, they are not bad. But we have to remain united with the Lord. So Vedas will give you detachment, no doubt about that. That is the right thing. Truly you understand Vedas, what will you get detached from? From the suffering of material world. We will not invest our heart in things that will give you distress. We will identify well, ki yahan jayenge na, distress aayega. So scriptures are loudly proclaiming, wealth is not the source of happiness. If you really understand that, you will achieve wealth. But you will not expect that his money will give happiness to me. Right? That is knowledge. What knowledge means, that gives you right perspective of the truth. And when you get understanding of truth, you get detached from that is not truth. And get attached to what is truth. Okay, sir?
Okay. What is the importance of Om?
Om. Om is the first sound which Brahmaji recited. Through which the sound of which all the material world came into existence. And Om is a sound which can also unite with yourself to the Supreme Lord. But Om is a impersonal representation of the personality of Supreme Lord. Like you have a name. What is your good name, sir?
Vineet.
You and your name is different. But you have attached this name to you. Tomorrow you can say, ki my name is Vivekananda. You can change it. Right? It's changeable. So something you are attached to yourself. So like that, but you are different from your name. You have personality, you have attributes, you have intelligence, you have skills, you have knowledge, you have a particular attitude, and you are in a particular way you live your life. Maybe Gujarati, Hindi, or whatever, right? So your name is different than your personality. Similarly, Omkar is Lord's sound vibration, but it is an impersonal manifestation of Lord's personality. The Lord is, the Omkar is a method of uniting with the Lord, but is not the Lord. Through the method of chanting Omkar, you can unite with that Lord. Like your name is Vineet. When I say Vineet, you look at me. I can connect with you. But Vineet is not you. You are a personality which is connected through the name Vineet. Is that right? So Omkar is that particular energy which Lord only has given to Brahmaji to create the whole material creation, right? From Brahmaloka to Pataloka.
Creates a positive vibration when you chant Om.
Definitely, Omkar is a very powerful
vibration. It gives an ultimate knowingly and unknowingly, some peace of mind.
Yes, no doubt about it. That's why all the mantras, apart from the Mahamantra that we chant, there are so many Gayatri mantras that we chant in within ourselves. All of them begin with Om. Om is a very powerful and deep introspectional sound vibration. Again, it connects you. When you say Om, and there are many other things further than that we say, right? Is that right? Om, also we chant, only Om also we chant. In yogic practices, we are taught to chant Omkar, which affects your brain, affects your heart, affects your liver, spleen, all things is affected, spine also get affected. But generally, there are mantras which begin with Om and end with something else. There is some personality to be addressed with through that Om. It gives you a powerful connection. It's like, you know, you have connection of 256 MB or 512 MB or maybe 1012 MB, whatever. There's a high speed connection or the 3G connection than 1G or 2G, right? Just to commonly understand. So Omkar gives you a 3G or 4G or 5G connection to the Lord. The speed at which you can connect, the intensity that you can connect is very powerful. But Omkar is not end in itself. Omkar is a means. As you said, you get peace. Life is not only peace. Life is bliss. But for that, you have to come to a station of peace first. Then the bliss can be developed. You know, for going to Pune, I have to go through Garzan first. I cannot just go and jump off by train. So like that, peace is a middle station which one has to achieve bliss. And Omkar is a means to that. I agree with you. Any other questions, sir? Anybody else? So I thank you all of you for having for patient hearing. And any further interest is there in the subject matter, we can help you, we can, you know, practically guide you. And many, many thousands of people are getting benefited through medical field now, through Bhaktivedanta Hospital. We have a department of spiritual care there. All our patients are, by default, they get spiritual counseling and care. Not by force, by will. It's voluntary. But we have provision. Spiritual training is available. And many, many patients have changed their lifestyle. Free from vices, and they have achieved happiness and peaceful situation in life. And we also train them nurses and doctors. Through their nursing school only we are training them. We have developed a curriculum called Spiritual Care in Nursing for undergraduate and postgraduate nurses. So thank you very much. I really am grateful to all of you. Thank you. Yeah. What is the question? I don't understand. Activities or the events took place because of that. That is the divine desire of the Lord to warn his enemies that I am coming. If they can change their mind, they can become his devotee and save all the wrath. Like same way Krishna also went and gave signal to Kauravas, you know. The war is going to take place, better you give 5 villages, otherwise war will take place. So the opportunity for Kauravas to change and to improve. Similarly, the Akashvani is also an opportunity for every living entity, including Kamsa and the demons, to wake up to the reality of life. If Kamsa would have become sober at that time, Krishna would have forgiven him. And Krishna takes great pleasure in fighting with his enemies.
But sir, if you said that race and will kill him, therefore it can't be
changed,
right?
No, race and will kill him, that happened, no?
Will kill him.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. So what is the question?
God can't forgive that race.
What is that?
God can't forgive that because the statement has already made.
That is right, but still, if the living entity chooses to change his consciousness, his attitude, God can do anything. Like God promised, I will not lift weapon in Kurukshetra war. But then lifted. For the pleasure of Bhishmadev's vow, to keep Bhishmadev's vow, which Bhishmadev took, that I will fight such a fierce war tomorrow, that I will make Krishna lift weapon to protect his devotee Arjuna. So Lord Krishna said something. Declared something, I will not lift a weapon in the war. But still, he broke his own word for the sake of his devotees. So Lord can say something, but to please his devotee, he can change his word. For him, his word is not important. the pleasure of his devotee is more important than him. If Kamsa would have chosen to become a devotee, he would have changed the world and protected him. But Kamsa didn't change, by the way. Yes? Pardon me? Okay. The understanding of time goes on becoming different when the age becomes different. In Satya Yuga, lifespan is 100,000 years. So youth is of several thousands of years. Say 40,000 years, 50,000 is really youth only. As the age advances, the lifespan goes on decreasing. So at the end of Satya Yuga, the lifespan becomes from 100,000 to 10,000 years. It begins with 10,000 years and when the Treta Yuga ends, it becomes 1,000 years. Exponential decay, it is called as. And then when Dwapar Yuga begins, the life begins at 1,000 years, ends at 100 years. And Kali Yuga begins, like we are living, it has begun 100 years and is decreasing day by day. What is the lifespan now? Average 58 years. And still decreasing. It's the old statistics. So time understanding of this material world is also decaying in the course of time. At the same time, there is a difference between time understanding of earth and heavenly currents. The earth timing, suppose one day, 24 hours. The timing of Swargaloka is 6 months of earth, is one day there. And that's not fixed. As you go on a higher and higher and higher heavenly current, the timing goes on increasing in the number of days. Is equal to one day over here. In Brahmaji's Loka, it is said that one moment of Brahma Loka is 1 year over here. So Brahma stole the cows and came after one moment and 1 year passed on earth. That is kind of Brahma's life is there. Brahma's life is 3,011,000,000,000 years. So time understanding of each planet is different.
What marks the end of the yuga?
There is a time period. For example, Kali Yuga is 4,32,000 years. Okay? On earthly scale. Today's scale that we are talking about. It is 4,32,000 years. 2 times that is the time limit for the next yuga, Dwapar Yuga. That is 8,64,000 years. 3 times 4.32 is Treta Yuga. And 4 times 4.32 is Satya Yuga. All this is equal to 4.32 into 10. So 43,20,000 years is the span of all the 4 Yugas. And this 4 Yuga is called as 1 Kalpa. When 4 Yugas pass, there is 1 cycle, it's called 1 Kalpa, and that is equal to 43,20,000 years. Such 1000 cycles when take place, that is equal to 12 hours of Brahma. You can write down if you like. Huh? And such 12 hours is Brahma's day, and such 12 hours is Brahma's night. That makes Brahma's one day. And such 100 years Brahma lives. Such 30 days is equal to 1 month, such 12 months is 1 year of Brahma, and such 100 years Brahma lives. And at the end of each day, there is a mini pralaya, dissolution. The creation gets destroyed and new creation takes place. By the desire of the Lord, by the power of Brahma. Not by its own. Nothing happens by its own. It is directed by the creator Brahma. Under the order of Krishna.
So it goes on like disasters and all or something
else? No. The disasters that you see in the material world in the form of wars and earthquakes, all these things are in between. I am talking about the dissolution which takes place at the end of the millennium. That is, when Brahma's one day ends of 12 hours, the mini dissolution takes place. And again creation starts, and again day starts of Brahma. And when Brahma's life ends, at that time the whole creation, material world, gets destroyed and a new world comes up. New Brahma takes birth from the navel of Lord Vishnu. Yes?
In 1960, the founder of ISKCON, Saila Prabhupada, said that it was not possible for man to go on moon, and there was a lot of controversy around it. So I want to know the reason that why exactly did he say that it wasn't possible for man to go on moon?
By the way, even the scientists have proved that man never went to moon. That you know now.
But why isn't it possible?
Because the moon that we are referring to is Chandra Loka. And this Chandra Loka that we are referring to is not the Upagraha, not the planet that we see on the sky. What we see in the sky is the Upagraha of Earth. What we talk about Chandra Loka is beyond, is a, one of the Swarga Lokas. And is much, much further than Sun that we are seeing today. Sun is 93 trillion miles from here. And Moon is further than that. And Prabhupada said that because the scriptural process of reaching these is pious activities. One who performs pious activities here, by the dint of his power of the pious activities, one takes birth over there. Not by the power of some mechanical equipment or the spaceship. That is why he said it is impossible that man has gone there. And then later on, American scientists proved that he went on some other planet on desert of India, of Earth only. You know this whole thing? There's a full film on that, of 2 hours. They landed the spaceship in desert and there was a flag and shadow also was seen. And that's how American scientists themselves, they proved. And the government suppressed it. Because they spent dollars of billions and billions of dollars to prove that man has reached on moon.
One more question, you say that Surya Lok, some sort of creature exists on Sun also. But
yes.
How can life sustain on such conditions?
Because our senses that Lord has given us today can perceive life only up to 120 microns. That way medical people see under microscope. The cell of size of 120 microns can be seen with naked eye. And then you need microscope and then you need telescope and then further and further lenses. Okay? So your question, what was your question? So this particular planet is water or earth predominant. Yours and mine body is earth predominant. We have 5 elements in the body. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Right? And this body is earth predominant. That means the earth element is predominant and less elements are less predominant. There are bodies which are fire predominant. There are bodies which are vayu predominant. Air predominant. And there are bodies which are fire predominant. And those fire predominant bodies are existing on Sun planet. Even scientists have proved today that at the temperature of 3000 degrees centigrade, there are living entities. They have proved it. So even current sciences with current available equipments, science has proved that life exists even in degrees of 3000 centigrade. So that logically tells us that as our bodies are earth predominant, there are bodies of water predominant, there are bodies of fire predominant, but which we cannot perceive by these eyes, which are made by earth predominant body. Our eyes are limited. Our senses are limited. They have a geographical and geological limitations. But divine science tells you in scriptures, by divine knowledge, that there is life everywhere on earth and every planet, including sun and the moon and Brahmaloka and Swargaloka and Siddhaloka and Charan, everywhere. Life exists.
One more question. Vedas say about the nirgun form of God, that he has no form.
It is like you and me have the power of speech, right? I speak and you speak. But your speech and my speech doesn't have form. My intelligence and your intelligence doesn't have form. But me, who owns the intelligence and who owns the speech of power of speech, has a personality, has a form. Like that, the feature of the Lord, like the energy of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord, the wealth of the Lord, the knowledge of the Lord, the fame of the Lord, are all nirguna. But the owner of all these opulences is having a form. And that form is like you and me. Man is made in the image of God. And understanding of the nirguna, impersonal aspect of the Lord, is inferior to the understanding of the personality of the Lord. Like we have sun rays, then we have sun planet, right? We say sun has come and come home. Yes, sun has come inside the house. What does that mean? Sun has not come. Sun rays have come in. Sun rays are the separated energy of the sun. And there is a source of sun from where the rays are coming. So the nirguna, the impersonal feature of the Lord is coming from the Lord itself. Lord himself. The Lord is source of that impersonal feature of His own. But the highest understanding of the Lord is the personality of Godhead, from whom all these impersonal features and other energies are emanating. And the understanding of the personality of Godhead is the highest of all. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti Shabdyati. This is what Bhagavatam explains. That all pervading Lord is one understanding. Localized Lord in the heart as Paramatma is second level of understanding. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of all the Paramatmas in the heart, is the highest understanding. Who lives as a person, who has features like you and me, but his body is divine, not like conditioned like us. That is Saguna, full of opulences. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is that clear? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes, yes, one more question.
The last question.
Sir, if I make one object, then in that object means some characteristics of mine will come.
Yes, your personality will reflect in that.
Yeah.
Correct.
So, since God had made us, then as you said that God is pleased with love. So, even human beings should be pleased with love. But means it is seen that this is someone loves, someone else means in excess. So that is like a pain to them. It can
in the material world, unfortunately. Actually speaking, God has made you in His image only. All of us. All human beings are made in the image of God. And we are same as God actually. God is Satchidananda in unlimited quantity and we are Satchidananda in minute quantity. But the quality is same. It's like the drop on the ocean and the full ocean is salty. When the drop is salty, the ocean is salty. Right? But the ocean can float steamers, can make whales swim in that, but the drop cannot make the whale swim in that or a boat swim in that, boat travel in that. So we are all part and parcel of the Lord. So the Lord's loving potency is in us also. That's why we are looking for love everywhere.
But if we receive it in excess, then
no, excess means the love here is contaminated. That's why excess is troublesome to you. If you get pure love, pure unconditional selfless love you get, there is nothing like unlimited, nothing like excess. We are talking about love which is conditioned, which is limited in the material world.
Sir, there is a saying like Lord of Amrit, in excess is also like a poison.
No. This saying is not bona fide, sir. I'm sorry.
I don't believe it.
That's not part of bona fide statement. There is nothing like excess love. Love is always unlimited and we want that love in unlimited quantity. We are looking for that love because we are bedecked with love by the Lord Himself. Being part and parcel of His own, we are by nature looking for love. And our satisfaction takes place only in love, not in wealth, not in knowledge, not in progress, not in any material thing. As the Lord is the emblem of love, we are also emblem of love as His part and parcels. So when we unite with Him in love, then you see love everywhere because you are joined with the source of love. And the source of love is extremely unlimited. And you don't get bored with that unlimited love of the Lord. Please experience that by chanting the holy name. That same love of the Lord can be experienced by you and me on this earth planet also. Any time of the life. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.